My name is Desiree McCray, and I'm the host of Prophetic Sister Girl. I am a graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary with my MDiv and specialization in Black Church Studies. I'm also a three-time author of books of poetry and devotional books. I'm also a multi-talented artist, beat maker, producer, painter, poet, you name it. And you're listening to Prophetic Sister Girl, where God is speaking, but are we listening? On this special episode, I dive into the topic of mental health, as well as my journey to accept my mental health condition that I face and how that intersects with my faith. I hope this episode blesses you. And if you haven't already, follow this podcast. The title of my sermon is, Lord, let me see what you see. Lord, let me see what you see. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to thee. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Life is rather abstract. If you've been cloud watching, you may see a set of clouds that looks like a human face. Your friend looking at the same clouds might see a bunny rabbit. Surely, this is not what I see, I think to myself. Someone with a troubled past may see a gun or a gruesome scene painting the sky. But no matter what you see, it's clear that what you see is subjective. And it depends on your perspective and how your brain interprets visual stimuli. You may not see what someone else sees. And they may not be able to see how you see. So you don't see eye to eye. You can't agree regarding what both of you can see. Likewise, in my life, there have been hard days when I couldn't see the light of God, nor could I see the light in myself. Surely, this is not how God sees me. There have been times I couldn't see the good in myself. I couldn't see my gifts and abilities. Surely, this is not what God sees. There have been times when it was easier to see my weaknesses than my strengths. Times when it was easier to see my flaws than it was to see my beauty. And during those times, I realized that I maintained an uneven view of myself. Surely, this is not what God sees. In high school, those days seemed plentiful. It seemed like the entire world had the upper hand over me, who felt so minuscule and insignificant in this abundantly vast and cosmic universe. My perspective was limited, and I couldn't see the forest through the trees until I went to a retreat called Kairos, which means God's time. It sure enough was God's divine timing that during a retreat leader's speech, I heard the lyrics to the song, Beautiful for Me, which is written as if God is the speaker. This song by Nicole Norman has lyrics that go a little like this. Has anybody told you you're beautiful? You might agree if you could see what I see. Cause everything about you is incredible. You should have seen me smile the day that I made you beautiful for me. As I listened to the lyrics, it was as if I imagined God fashioning me delicately while elbow deep in clay creating me by hand. I heard God say, I don't see you how you see yourself. I thought, well, what do you mean, God? God responded, all you see is flaws, but I see your beauty because you are marvelously made by me. That night at their retreat, I prayed to God, Lord, let me see what you see. And ever since, God has been opening my mind to my inherent value as a child made by God's very own hands. God often takes me back to Psalm 139, which serves as a reminder that God has made all of me, my body with all its robes, my skin with all its melanin, and my hair with all its kinks, coils, and curls. God made my big heart to help and my brain full of intellect. That's why we ought to praise God, as the psalmist says, because our bodies and souls are marvelously made. My God knows each of us inside and out. By creating me, God made me literally from nothing into something. But let's stay at nothing for a while. Throughout college, I felt like nothing. My feelings of being nothing or nobody were reflected in who I allowed around me, the kind of people I talked to. I would often put myself in dangerous situations and engage in risky behaviors with the wrong crowd. Looking back, it all showed a lack of awareness of my value. I thought something was wrong with me because my behavior was not regular. I had trouble with impulse control because I would spend my entire bank account in one weekend. I would often get very ramped up and couldn't sleep throughout the night. I wouldn't sleep for 3 or 4 days on end and have feelings of invincibility. I would work on what seemed like 100 projects and activities a day. I had lots of energy, but severe mood swings ranging from wired and irritable to depressed and self-isolating. These were my highs. Then I would crash and feel like I had been hit by a ton of bricks. I'd sleep for days, not shower, eat too much or not at all, because become nonverbal and antisocial. I would lose interest in those 100 projects and my favorite activities. I would push friends and family away during my darkest times. I wouldn't leave the house and let the dishes pile up and stop cleaning because I didn't have the physical energy to do tasks that were perceived to be simple, everyday tasks like eating, showering, cleaning, and looking after my school and work responsibilities. This cycle, which I now know as mania and depression, became most pronounced in my first year at seminary. I went to the counseling office in crisis in September 2018, and I was diagnosed with bipolar depression because I had experienced several manic episodes during and throughout college. I had no idea how dangerous living with bipolar was for me until seeing my new psychiatrist. After my diagnosis, I took an Uber home and I held back tears till I could make it back to my residence hall. I instantly started to think negatively about myself. I'm worthless. I shouldn't be a pastor because how can God use me if I have this condition? I hated the fact that I was bipolar and wanted to be someone else who didn't have to take medicine for treatment. I hated the stigma and decided that I would eventually have to speak to my friends and family about my diagnosis. But at the moment, I was angry and ashamed of my condition. I grieved the life before my diagnosis. While my first response was anger and sadness, the second wave of emotion was more pleasant. It was a sense of relief. Wow, finally, I know why I've been struggling like I have. Even though I live with bipolar disorder, it's not a death sentence. At least it's treatable. It makes sense why I have contemplated suicide more times than I'd like to admit, because the rate of suicide among bipolar depression patients is approximately 10 to 30 times higher than the corresponding rate in the general population. Extant research found that up to 20% of mostly untreated bipolar subjects end their life by suicide, and 20 to 60% of them attempt suicide at least once in their lifetime. My faith in God wavered after my diagnosis. And if I'm being honest, sometimes I still question whether I am capable because of my disability. Though I was uncertain about what I believed, I was certain that I still believed in a God that saw more in me than my mental frailty. After I was diagnosed, a close mentor of mine helps me realize now that if God can call Moses, who was a murderer, if God can call Rahab, who was a prostitute, if God can call David, who was an adulterer, if God can call Saul, who was a Christian killer, then surely, without a doubt, God can use me. Someone with bipolar depression to be a blessing to the children of God. I used to think my diagnosis disqualified me from ministry, but my friend reminded me years ago, God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. God qualifies me. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. God qualifies me because God saw me before I was formed. God knew me before my mother knew my father. All the days of my life were written by God's unchanging hand before any of those days came to fruition. When God thinks of me, He doesn't just see my disability, but God thinks I'm worth it. God thinks you are worthy, and God declares that you are worthy. And that's why I thank God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, because the greatness of God is reflected in the greatness in me. I thank God because through some of my most painful times, God has shown me that there is beauty in the ashes. Just when my life felt as if it was burnt to ashes, God showed the beauty of overcoming mental obstacles, the beauty of resilience and self-acceptance. Self-acceptance doesn't occur in the absence of imperfection. Rather, self-acceptance is most necessary when inevitably we experience suffering and mourning in our lives. When we lose loved ones, our jobs, our sanity, or even our identity in Christ, we can rest assured that God will come alongside us with His love and comfort. God accepts us, and if God accepts us, we need to accept God's beloved creation, ourselves. God never promised that my faith will protect me from trials and suffering, but God promised to be with me always, even in the valleys or even during depressed moods. Isaiah 61 reminds us of a promise that God will bestow on those who mourn a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. I believe this verse gives us deep hope, especially for those of us living with mental health disorders. This text is a beautiful reminder that God can take what we believe to be the worst of circumstances and turn it into something great. You might see ashes, but God sees beauty. You might see hurting, but God sees healing. Lord, let me see what you see. This verse has given me hope. Though no matter my mental health, I can emerge on the other side of my trauma with shouts of praise for our Lord and Savior, because he brought me through it all. You might look at me and see trauma, but God sees transformation. Lord, let me see what you see. Because I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I can practice self-acceptance. Once I received my diagnosis, there was a season of grieving, but I came to tell you that if you can accept yourself, your grief, and your painful emotions, then you can overcome your grief. When you carry your sorrows to the sanctuary, you can lay them down at the altar and leave them there. I might see grieving, but God sees greatness. Lord, let me see what you see. Because God didn't design us to carry grief forever, at some point God invites us to pick up and clothe ourselves with a mantle of praise. Another translation says garment, but I like to say mantle because in the Bible, whenever there's a mantle, it represents a man's gift. It represents the call of God and the purpose for which God has called him. The mantle serves a symbolic purpose, and in the case of the prophets, the mantle shows that they were wrapped in God's authority. So as we pick up our mantle of praise, we step into our authority to be who God says we are, no matter what we've been labeled with. And when we pick up our mantle of praise, we can finally see what God sees. You might see malfunction, but God sees mantles. Lord, let me see what you see. The mantle of praise represents the authority of Christ we have in prayer to see a change. After I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, even I had to pick up my garment of praise after a while. And as the Pentecostals might say, I had to put on my shouting shoes. Today, I can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he is carried from glory to glory. Some of you may not understand my praise. Some of you may not understand my style of preaching, but what you see is not what God sees. And what you see is not what I have made, but the mantle of praise I have was bestowed upon me by God. Some of you may not understand the reason I sing, but sometimes I sing because I've got the blues. Because sometimes I sing because I'm happy. And as Kirk Franklin said, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because and his eye is on the sparrow, so I know he watches over me. So I'm glad that I've accepted who I am, and now I'm better than I used to be. I'm a little more healed than I used to be, so I thank God. I thank God because when I saw tests, God saw testimonies. When I looked in the mirror and saw a mess, God gave me a message to be a messenger. Lord, let me see what I see. Excuse me, let me see what you see. I thank God because when all I saw was tribulation, God watched my triumph. Lord, let me see what you see. When all I saw was a victim, God perceived my victory. Lord, let me see what you see.
This is your best sermon. I'm serious. This is your best sermon. Because anybody who's dealing with some stuff and can't be honest about it, you are honest, and it helps so many people because you're bringing a message, you know? Because a lot of people are still looking at what they've been buried with as their trials, okay?